baby when you all go, oh, hey, this is huge today. Like, this is awesome. And I want to give Gary a bad time about, like, when he's not here, more people show up, but I don't know. I'll wait and see if that works later. Hey, my name's Brian Zager. This is our second week. This is my second week with you in a new series called Change Your World. And in changing your world, I believe we can change the world. And last week, we started looking at a book, Old Testament book called Nehemiah. How many of you were with us last week when we started looking at Nehemiah? Excellent. A lot of people, as you came in, I'm a teacher. And so one of the things we did last week is I said, you have homework. And unlike Kevin or Gary or some other people, I am going to check your homework. And as people are coming in today, I'm like, I don't know who you are. And they're like, dude, who's that crazy guy there? He's like old and so on. And a few of you guys, you came up to me and you're like, yeah, let me tell you. And a few of you are like, I got to go play Wii. And you like darted in and I will find you later. And you're not in trouble for not doing homework. Don't feel bad. But at the same time, boy, it's kind of one of those, it's a missed opportunity. The book of Nehemiah is amazing. And God has preserved it for over 2,000 years for you. And for you, and for you, and for you, and every single, and you. And if you don't take that opportunity he's given you to dive into it, I got busy. I know life gets busy. But I think God is trying to talk to you. And he's like, guys, this is really cool. So today we're going to continue on with Change Your World. Today we're going to talk about living out leadership. Leadership lived out. And so let's recap last week. The book of Nehemiah begins with a guy named Nehemiah. Where is he living? Persia. Where is he living? Oh, yes, this is going to be great. And he's there, and his job is the... Hey, that was better. Cupbearer to the king. So that means the king's like, I don't want to be poisoned. You try my stuff. You didn't die. I will have some. Thank you. And so that's what he does. And essentially that the Jews, the Israelites, had been in bondage by first the Babylonians and then the Persians and so on. And then Nehemiah has a friend who came up to him and said, and it's not really a friend, but it's an acquaintance, or it's at least a Jewish brother who came back from the homeland. And we said that was 1,000 miles away. And he told Nehemiah what? Say it out loud. He said, Jerusalem is still destroyed. The walls are down. It's a mess. And Nehemiah, remember, his heart was broken, not for himself, but for those others. And he said, this isn't good. And so Nehemiah, the first thing he did, remember, what did he do? I've seen people say it. What did he do? Say it out loud. He wept. He mourned. He cried. And we challenge you, how many times have you really cried for someone else and not just yourself? I think God's word teaches us a little bit about that. And then after he wept, what did he do? He prayed. Absolutely, he prayed. Please, there's an 8-year-old sitting up here giving more answers than some of you. Come on! And so he prayed. And then Nehemiah took action. That's where we pick up today. And I gave you homework. I said, one, for the next 3 weeks of Change Your World, please start reading Nehemiah. Read a chapter, read a few chapters, read the whole book. Do what you need to do, but engage with it. And then the other thing, I pulled them out of the little box then. I said, I want you thinking about over this week, what is your burden? And some of you guys are like, I don't know. I'm like, okay. If God hasn't put a burden on your heart yet, I can't do anything about that. Now, God can. Now, some of you guys, I want to read a few of these to you. Because these are people, and some of you guys, as soon as I said burden, you grab that piece of paper, you're like, give that to me, let me write it down. Some of you guys are like, explain what that means, and then like I could see like the light bulb come on, you're like, got it. I hate that. Here's some of your answers. Human trafficking. If you've ever studied human trafficking, if that doesn't upset you, I don't know what will. How about emotional, physical abuse of kids? How about not being able to read or reach people and lead them to Christ? How about people with disabilities who need medical help? How about refugees? How about the hungry? How about those living in poverty? How about those who are child slaves? How about people who are put down for their appearances? people with no help, people without dads. How about abortion? How about helplessness? How about animal cruelty? How about disrespect of military troops? Folks, these are burdens. They're no different than Nehemiah. And guess what? You're teenagers, which is kind of similar to cupbearer, isn't it? You're kind of like the guinea pigs of like, hey, try that. Does that work? It doesn't work. We're not going to do that anymore. Isn't that how schools work sometimes? And so on. Yeah, you're like, oh, some new requirements for this year. How many of you guys are taking the Smarter Balance test this week? Have fun with that. Anyhow. So with that, let me pray real quickly, and then let's dive into God's word today, because he wants us to live out leadership, not just to hear about it on Sunday morning, but to live it out in our week. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for every single person here. I pray that you open our ears, open our minds, and Lord, open our hearts. I pray that you do work here right now. There are people here, Lord, and me included. We need to be leaders in our own communities, in our own groups, Lord. And we need to stand up for what is good and true and right. Help us, equip us today. Lord, we pray that your hand of blessing be on this time. In your name, amen. All right, so let's get into Nehemiah right now. Let's just dive into it, because I think there are nuggets of truth. So we are going to open up in chapter 2. I think it will come up here. I believe we're going to kick off with verse 4, if we have that. There we go. Perfect. And verse 4 says this, "Then the king said to me, 'What are you requesting?'" Remember, Nehemiah, this insignificant person, okay, this butler is going to the king and saying, "King, I have a question for you." And listen to this. "What are you requesting?" And he said this, oh boy. He says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." The first thing he does before even answering the king, he prays. Let me tell you this, at least for me, there's so many times I try and do things on my own. And if I accomplish it and I don't need to pray about it, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Think about it. If you can't do it, if you can do it alone without God's help, it's not a big enough goal. It's not a big enough challenge. Folks, we should be praying more. Nehemiah knew it. I forget it. Hopefully you don't. "And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it.' And the king said to me," the queen sitting beside him, "'How long will you be gone, and when will you return?' So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the province beyond the river, so that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy.' And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me." Folks, he doesn't just go to the king and say, "Hey, king, can I leave you? Can I quit being a butler? And can I go build what used to be your enemy's, like, head city?" That's pretty tough to ask, right? He goes even further, and he does a lot of this behind-the-scenes planning. And so here's the first big point today you can write down, is Nehemiah, he starts this off by defining his mission. I think a lot of times we make these big missions. So, like, there's an example. One of you guys said abortion. Abortion's a huge, huge topic, is it not? But sometimes we need to narrow down our focus. You have a burden for abortion? Great. Then let's narrow it down. Maybe you narrow it down to, you know what? I want the girls of my school to know there are other options. That's narrowed down. Nehemiah narrowed it down. And I think Nehemiah, as we read on there in some of those later verses, Nehemiah definitely had done his homework, right? He had looked up all the things he needed to do. And if you look around the room, you have leaders who abound in here who sometimes are kind of in the outlying regions here. They're kind of hidden. Because guess what their burden is? Their burden is you. And what do? They do the behind-the-scenes things of setting up stuff. They do the behind-the-scenes things of paperwork and making phone calls and making, you know, if it's PowerPoints or so on. making videos. They have a burden for you, and they do the behind-the-scenes things. They define their mission, not of, I want to reach a younger generation. No, I want to reach you, and you, and you, and you, and you. That's who they want to reach. That's their burden. Nehemiah had a burden. His was to rebuild the city walls. What's your burden? What's something you go, man, child slavery, that seems like a huge topic. There are more slaves in America today, folks, than at the time of the Civil War. I'll say that again. There are more slaves today living in America than at the time of the Civil War. How is that possible? Because sometimes we don't define our mission. We keep it so big. Yeah, it's really bad. Hope it stops. We need to narrow it down. There are slaves living in the greater Puyallup area. We need to narrow it down. We need to define our mission and so on. Let's go on. Let's keep going. Let's jump ahead to verse 16. Verse 16. So Nehemiah is given permission, and off he goes. How far away was Persia from Jerusalem? How far? Over 1,000 miles. That's like us to what state? North Dakota. We remember North Dakota. That's good. I like that. Verse 16. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, and I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins, its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. And if you take a look at that, the walls of Jerusalem had been down for about 140 years. So imagine you have walked by something every day of your life. Maybe it's a burned down building. But your dad had walked by it. And your grandmother had walked by it. And generations had passed. And you're kind of like, why didn't someone do something with that? And it just becomes your culture, like no one does something with that. It's burned down. It's not worth it. Nehemiah, a foreigner, essentially growing up in a different area, says, guys, this is not who God called us to be. He called us to be something greater. And so, I definitely think that many of the people living there kind of thought that the job was impossible. But Nehemiah didn't. And so here's your second big point. Nehemiah inspired others. Nehemiah inspired others. See, Nehemiah, his burden was building the wall. But he didn't build it. Look ahead to chapter 3 if you have your Bibles open with me. All of chapter 3 is about a whole bunch of other people. The sons of Hasanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors. Joiada, the son of Pisara, and Meshulam, the son of Besadiah, repaired the gate of Yeshaniah. I don't know how to say all these words, but the whole chapter 3 is about all the people who for 140 years did nothing. Nehemiah goes, let's do this. How many people within your schools are waiting to do something? They just need a Nehemiah to stand up and say, let's do this together, and to inspire them. Because some of you guys, you have burdens that are big. We just read some of them. And some of you guys, it's still in kind of the creation. Here's a quote. It's by John Wesley. He says, light yourself on fire with passion, and people will come from miles to watch you burn. Isn't that true? People with passion, we flock to them. We drive to them, and we hear them. And God says, you're one of them. Will you abide in me? Will you be in me? Will you study what I have for you? Will you take that risk? Will you take that leap of faith and go do something amazing and let me work with you and through you? And so on. And so with Nehemiah, let me continue on. Verse 19. Let's see here. But when Sanballat the Amorite and Tobiah the Amorite, servant of Geshem, and the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us, and they despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Then I replied to them, "The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build what you have no portion or right to claim in Jerusalem." He's motivated, he's inspired, and he inspires others. So chapter 3 might look like a boring chapter, but in some ways it's the coolest chapter of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah doesn't do it. He encourages and inspires others to build the wall. Let's jump ahead here. And I'm going to just give the point right now. And the point is this: Nehemiah battled and he fought through obstacles. Because don't get me wrong, leadership isn't easy. I realized that this week in my own job, and that's a long story. But I realized, like, I'm kind of right in the middle of this Nehemiah moment in my own life. And I kind of, like, wasn't acknowledging really what God would have me do. Let's go on to chapter 4 here. And it says, "Now when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?' Tobiah the Amorite was beside him, and he said, 'Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives.'" And then, "Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So here's what we see. We see the Jews under the leadership of Nehemiah starting to build up. So let's rebuild that wall. Good. And then people are jeering at him. People are saying to him, "You can't do it." And I love this real moment of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is not God. Nehemiah is human like us. And Nehemiah is like, essentially, "May God do justice to you." And you get almost this like revenge aspect kind of starting to come out of his words, right? Like, "God, get them." But guess what he does? He doesn't go to get them. He takes his frustrations to God. He's like, "God, will you please keep helping us do what is right and good?" It's a very real moment there in the adversity. So the first thing I think you should definitely know, as he faced trials and challenges, he faced them from outside. But guess what? Sometimes as leaders, we face them from outside, and we face them from where? Inside. And so continue on with me. Jump ahead a little bit. Verses 10 through 14 in chapter 4. 10 says this, "In Judah it was said, 'The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. Woe is us. Nehemiah, I think it's too hard. I don't know if we can finish.' And our enemy said, 'They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work.' At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, 'You must return to us.' So in the lower parts of the space behind the walls and the open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" Folks, they're being attacked. And Nehemiah does something very practical. He says, "Hold your swords with you." I think sometimes in our burdens, in our plans, in our leadership, we have to be practical. God calls us to be practical. But notice at the end there, what does God do? Or what does Nehemiah do? He turns it over to God. We need to be spiritual and we need to be practical. We can't be one or the other. We have to be both. God calls us in the book of Nehemiah to be spiritual and to be practical as we take on our obstacles. And so, let's take a look here. Let's go back through this. We have 3 big points. What did Nehemiah do? First of all, he narrowed down his mission, right? you have a burden? Are you going to be able to narrow it down to something tangible that you can do? He defined his mission. Secondly, what did he do? Nehemiah inspired others. He didn't do it all by himself. He built up others. And then number three, what did he do? He fought through, he battled through the obstacles. I want to tell you a story. And it's funny because the stories of Jeremiah, we're studying Nehemiah and Maya's and anyhow. And Jeremiah, about a year or two ago, he grew up with a younger brother who was adopted from Ethiopia. And about a year or so ago, he really became inspired of kind of like, dude, like, why would my brother's birth parents give him up for adoption? I just don't get it. Why would they do that? And so he starts researching of what's going on in Africa. And he develops a burden because he keeps seeing a reoccurring theme. Unclean water. Unclean water. He's like, this is ridiculous. He's like, I turn on top faucet. I don't even think if it's clean. I live in America. And for them, there are people getting diseases every single time they drink from a cup of water because it's dirty. It has smells to it because it's contaminated with sewage. And he's like, this is not okay. And so he goes to the king in his life. And the king happened to be his elementary school principal. Because Jeremiah at the time was 8. And Jeremiah didn't tell his family. He didn't tell his parents. He just made an appointment to see his principal. And he had gone online and done all the research. And Jeremiah came to his principal and said, I want to build a well. And the principal's like, okay, thanks for coming to visit me. He's like, no. This is what I want to do. Here's an organization that he had printed out. It was a Christian organization that built wells. He's like, I want to raise money, us as a school, and I want to build a well in Africa. And the principal's like, well, what do your parents say? I haven't told them. Principal's like, we should probably talk to your parents. Long story short, Jeremiah goes on this crusade to build a well for one town in one part of Africa. And if we could get the video clip, or I guess it's a newspaper clip here. There he is. Right up there. He's kind of the one in the orange t-shirt there. And you know what? Just like Nehemiah, he narrowed it down. Small thing. He's like, unclean water? You know what? Let's narrow it down. Let's build a well. Where? Africa. How are we going to get money? We are going to sell things. And so it was bake sales. They started getting bracelets made. They sold a bunch of things to raise money. Cool. He defined his mission. Next, he inspired others. And it's interesting. He is surrounded by a bunch of other students there. Now, it's funny. Jeremiah is super quiet. And it's interesting that the newspaper article was more about some of the other students who were more the vocal students. And Jeremiah was totally fine with that. And you know, look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah spends a whole chapter not talking about himself. He talks about all the other people. Jeremiah inspired others to get behind his vision. And then Jeremiah raised the money. He was successful. And at different times he faced obstacles, like as trying to give public money to a Christian organization via your public school. Very difficult to do. And the little 8-year-old fought it. And it's one of those, like, I am proud of his story. I'm proud to be his uncle. Because that's one of those things you go, man, why does an 8-year-old live out Nehemiah when I can't do it in my own life? And God says that in the Bible. How much are you capable of? We're all insignificant. Who would think that an 8-year-old would now, literally a whole town in Africa doesn't have those waterborne diseases because one 8-year-old in Kaiser, Oregon said, I want to do something. What potential do we have in this room today? I'm going to say it this way, that's being wasted. Because you're too afraid to go ask the king. Or you're too afraid to maybe have a burden that's not your own. If your burden is school, it's homework, it's you, that's not a burden. That's not a God-inspired burden. A God-inspired burden is for someone else. And maybe it's taking time that you're like, God, develop this in me. And maybe over the next days, the weeks, months, years, that finally God says, you know what? I have something for you. I'm trusting you with this. Because There's a little girl overseas who's being trafficked. There's a family who's homeless. You know, whatever that burden is, God gave, like, the world, us, as followers of Christ, to go do His mission. Folks, I have two things of homework for you, and they are the exact same two things of homework as last week. Will you please start reading Nehemiah? Will you commit to doing that? Even if it's just a little bit. And second, will you continue to pray and look for an opportunity that you can have a burden for other people and go live out leadership? Last time we talked about ordinary world changers, and Nehemiah is that. Guys, you are teenagers, you are that. The world does not predict you making this great change, but you plus God make something amazing happen. So go do that and inspire others to join with you. Pray with me here. Lord, I thank you for these 2 weeks. I thank you for this message of Nehemiah. And Lord, I pray that it takes root in me, and I pray it takes root in every single person here. Lord, I know we're on your own, your clock. And your clock, some of these people, it might be this week, Lord, that their burden is realized and they start staring down the kings of their life and start planning out their mission and inspiring others. And Lord, I maybe it's for others. It's in weeks, it's in months, it's in years. But Lord, I pray that the seed of what you've preserved in the book of Nehemiah is planted in all of us today. Help us to serve you. Help us to spread your kingdom here on earth today, tomorrow, and the next. Thank you for this day. Lord, it's in your name we pray.